We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, there's all kinds of different stations and signals that you need to keep track of these days, Gianna. We got games everywhere. Welcome to 98.7564328675309. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome. Some good game last night. That was a pretty good Warrior game last night. Man, you know, everything I said about Kevin Durant and wanting to see him, I'm not coming off of any of it. I wanted to see him play. I still want to see him play. But they played very well without him, and that was kind of awesome. Whatever nugget of hope, I guess we'll call it that. Do we have nuggets of hope? Are there nuggets of hope? Is that a word? Is that a phrase?
It might not be a phrase.
I think I just made that up. But whatever kernels of hope, maybe that's it. The Portland Trail Blazers wanted or hoped to have. There's just no way that that is going to happen now. This is over. Everything but the details of this series. Now, could they make an interesting game up in Portland? Yeah, there's no doubt. Are the Trail Blazers about to win? What is it, four of the next five games? No, that is not going to happen. The Warriors are so well built. They're so well constructed. Their role players are just fantastic right now. And it's funny. Last night, Gianna, it was great to have you there. By the way, our station was, if you want, like, news team assemble, like mega coverage, the mega cast. We probably had 10 people at the game last night from the station. We were all there. We got you covered today, and Steve Kerr is going to join us at 5 o'clock. We're really looking forward to that happening a little bit later on. But we were all there. Glimmer of hope, Damon. You've been looking for glimmer of hope. We also have people here on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line who think that you've already partaken in 420, and that's why maybe you're a little confused about dial position today.
Where do I work? 95.7 The Game.
How high are you right now?
Really?
She's zooted. Look at her. Oh my God.
Yeah, sorry.
Can we get Visine for Gianna? My goodness, I can't believe you'd show up to work like this.
Ha ha ha.
For a sports update, let's go to Peter Tosh, brought to you by Legalize It. So, look, the Warriors hit Portland with a huge dose of reality. And I think that huge dose of reality is also a message that I'm very happy the Warriors sent to the rest of the NBA. You couldn't help but watch and think, oh man, how are you going to beat that? Because that is eventually going to get Kevin Durant back. Now, I see we got a lot of people interpreting what Kevin Durant's absence meant. And we'll get to that in just a second. Scar, 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 scar. That's what the last game sounded like. It's what Dan Ruzanowski is going to sound like when he joins us at 3:30 today. We're talking to the Sharks play-by-play voice. You can catch the Sharks tonight on which station?
98.5 K-Fox.
She doesn't sound that stoned to me.
It all kind of ran together.
It did.
It did. I had to post it, had to go, had to get the read-in, you know.
That's okay.
And I didn't even get the read-in.
That's okay. You still did a great job.
Thanks.
So, if the Golden State Warriors' biggest sin is that they're ultimately so good they're predictable, we have absolutely no idea what the San Jose Sharks are going to have for us tonight. I don't know, and I don't even think a fan who follows them more closely than I do even knows. And I guess that's kind of the fun here. I have no idea what to expect from the San Jose Sharks tonight. If we're sitting down here at 3 o'clock tomorrow, Gianna, and we are reacting to a game that they actually won comfortably, based on what I just saw, I don't think I'd blink an eye. If you told me that the Sharks looked really in control and won this game tonight, even with, you know, Couture still basically toothless and Thornton like two games back from being hurt, if you told me that they skated to a comfortable win, I'd believe you. I would buy that from you right now if you were selling it to me. If at 3 o'clock today, or 3 o'clock tomorrow, we're sitting down to talk about how the Sharks were shut out again, I'd believe that too.
Yeah.
I guess not having any idea what is going to happen in a need-it-bad game. It's not a must-win, but it's a need-it-bad game. That sounds like a fun night on my couch to me. I can't wait for our Hey, What's for Dinner segment, because that's what I'm going to go pick up before I go home to watch this game tonight. That's it. I'm excited about it. I really am. Sharks records last game, 7. 7 goals is a team record in the playoffs. The widest margin of victory, a record for power play goals, 4 was set. The record for the quickest goal was also set in the postseason at 15 seconds. So this franchise is coming off of a franchise-best hockey game, and we'll see if it carries over tonight into Edmonton. What are you saying? Wreck the rig? Is that it? Is that what the chant is? Wreck the rig? The oil derrick? Derrick. So, I know what I'm doing on my couch tonight. If you were on your couch last night and you were watching NBA playoff basketball outside of Oracle Arena, you might have watched the game that happened in Houston. And you might have seen Russ Westbrook probably straddle the line of great game and awful game more than any player in a singular playoff performance has in a really, really long time. Russell Westbrook last night totally forgot that he had teammates in the fourth quarter. He turned in the first ever 50-point triple-double in NBA playoff history. He also totally shot the Thunder out of the game. In the first half, Russell Westbrook was absolutely awesome. He had 22 points, he had 8 rebounds, he had 10 assists, and the Thunder led by 6. He was 3 for 18 in the fourth quarter. I typed 8 for 18 here. I know I got that first number wrong. I have a typographical error on my notes. He was worse than that. Would you look up? No, forget it. It doesn't matter. Here's all you need to know about Russell Westbrook last night. He wasn't passing the ball in the fourth quarter, and he completely shot his team out of the game because he went ice cold in the fourth quarter, and he didn't even slow down once when it came to yoicks away launching it from everywhere. He was passing up open guy after open guy, driving into a stacked defense, looking for calls to bail him out. The game last night that Russell Westbrook played, historical in its 50-point playoff triple-double nature. But the game that he played last night should really be known as the Why Durant Left game. I'm not even kidding, man. Tim Bontemps, who is an excellent writer, man. You know, he's been first of all, Tim's been a cool guy to hang around watching a basketball game with. Like everyone who covers Warrior Media, I think we all agree, we really like Tim Bontemps. He totally fits in out here. Number two, he's a really good writer. He covers this league so well, and I am now more familiar with his work than I've ever been. Right. You know, I don't live in Washington. I don't get the Post.
Right.
But I followed him before he got here. So I was aware of him, always liked what he read, but I didn't read him all the time. Now I read him all the time. And he wrote something about Russell Westbrook that is a great question about Russell Westbrook and a great question about what you think is important on a basketball court. Here is what he wrote. This is Tim Bontemps. Where did I put this? Here it is. Either Westbrook is doing what he has to do to carry the sorry cast of characters that surrounds him, or he's being far too controlling of the game and his team and is unwilling to trust them to do what's necessary to help him win the game. How you answer that question sums up with how one feels about basketball. Do you think Russell Westbrook is nuts for taking too many shots all the time, being the ball hog, if you will, if that's what you want to call it? Or is he really, like, the sole reason that they are in the playoffs at all, and they're a 21-win team without him? He's both.
Two things can be equally true,
once said a great San Francisco sports talk show host. He also said,
"Go Sharks."
I think Russell Westbrook is an awesome force of nature on the basketball course, but it takes more than just a blustery force of nature on a basketball court to be on the right course as a basketball team. It's a team game. That is why the Warriors are so scary. It's one thing to have all that talent. Would we agree that Russell Westbrook probably has as much talent as anyone on the Golden State Warriors? Like, the guy is from another planet level talent. Damian, he doesn't shoot as well. I get it. I know. But just follow along. Don't be argumentative. Just listen to the opening monologue, damn it. But seriously, he is as talented as there is a human being playing professional sports. But because of the way he is wired, the talent isn't given the... It isn't served properly. You got the Golden State Warriors brimming with talent. What is their number one priority? Let's get 30 assists tonight. Let's share this basketball. Let's make the extra pass. Let's make the extra pass to where we're trying to make the extra cute pass a little bit too much. It might even piss off someone hosting a talk show the next day. Like, that is my only problem with the Warriors. They try to get a little too cute with how much they share the ball. Russ ain't here to share the ball. He's here to score like the Dickens and win. Winning does not always follow him scoring like the Dickens. So, would you want him as a teammate? It's hard to say. You wouldn't want a teammate who could do what he does, but at the same time, he undoes so much of what he tries to accomplish by tuning the four other guys on the court out. You cannot tune out your teammates and be a great basketball player. And it's like the thing that's holding him back. Force of nature, the best watch in basketball. A lot of people want to say that Harden cemented whatever MVP debate you wanted to have last night. Maybe smarter player, has a better team around him taking advantage, maybe even a better coach in D'Antoni. But I still think Russ was the MVP of the year. I know. I don't want to hear anything. But what about the defense? What about the... He was the best watch in basketball. Russell Westbrook is the most ruthless thing on the basketball court you watched all year long. And sometimes the ruthlessness of his own actions slit his own throat. But the guy's just a hell of a basketball player who is now being judged for trying to do too much. Judging basketball players is the world that we live in now. I mean, it's kind of all we do. We sit around and we pick it apart. And obviously, Kevin Durant's absence in a blowout Warrior playoff win last night reignited the debate, Gianna. The Warriors are better off without Kevin Durant.
Of course it did.
Of course it did. Of course it did. Unimaginative is always predictable. You know, maybe in the snapshot of one game, you think you got an argument. And in the snapshot of one game, or even in this over the snapshot of the 14-game winning streak when he was out. You know, I look at it this way. I like the fact that you maybe brought that up because it means you've been paying a little bit of attention. But I'm just going to tell you to stop it. Stop it. First of all, this is Portland. There are much bigger challenges that lie ahead. Kevin Durant is not only going to prove his worth, I wouldn't put it past him to be named Finals MVP. So that's who he is, right? He's that good. He is one of the few human beings who's standing on the same court with Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green can all of a sudden, on any night, be better than all of them. There's not too many guys who can collectively match or even rise above that talent level. But he's one of them. Are the Warriors better off without Kevin Durant? Again, just stop it. Kevin Durant makes any basketball team better, even the best one. And that's why people are interpreting or misinterpreting, I think, what they're seeing here. Kevin Durant would make the worst team in the league, whoever that is, the Brooklyn Nets. He would make the Brooklyn Nets a playoff team in the East. That's how good he is. All by himself, they would be a playoff team. Kevin Durant on the worst team in the league stands out like a sore thumb because he is the best player guiding the way to victory whenever they find it on any night they actually find it. For the Golden State Warriors, he literally can wear beige and blend, and if he is not involved, if he doesn't even play, it really doesn't affect the team that much. He knew that when he was walking into this situation. He knew that he would be criticized because of that situation, but here he is anyways, because it's not about winning one and being the guiding force. You know, you just had him here in the other day, how much he was talking about, you know, how hard it is to win in this league. It's brutal. Here's the truth, though. So I thought about this a little bit last night. Like I said, I appreciate the question in the vacuum. I'm looking at the bigger picture. But here's the truth. The truth about Kevin Durant concerning the Golden State Warriors, not another team in the league that he would be on, but the Warriors. Concerning the Golden State Warriors, he's not the cake. He's the frosting. He's not the ice cream. He's not the butterscotch. He's not the whipped cream. He's not even the sprinkles. He's the cherry on top of the Golden State Warriors. The championship DNA was here before he was. And that DNA continues to define this team, whether he is here or not. He came to the Warriors to be part of that DNA. He wants to learn how to win a championship. This team knows how to do it. That is why he's here. Remember when Giants fans a few years ago were all about champions blood? Tiger blood?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that, it was like Charlie Sheen that brought that all up. Tiger blood. By the way, I don't think Charlie Sheen's allowed to joke about blood anymore. Kevin Durant is here to become what the Warriors already are. Champions. The best. The widest margin of being the best. And it's hard to appreciate how good he is when in his absence, the team looks like they're not missing him at all. But believe me, bigger challenges lie ahead than the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're going to be very happy that Kevin Durant is on this team by the end of this year. Yeah, I already thought about, you know, somebody sat down last night to write a real fancy think piece about how, you know, maybe this offseason, because there's an option, the Warriors should really let Kevin Durant walk, title or not, like let him walk and spend all the money that you would spend on one player in Durant and spread it around and just put role players around Curry, Clay, Draymond, keep JaVale McGee for sure. Maybe even bring back Zaza. You can definitely bring back both Livingston and Iguodala if you're not spending on Durant. You know, there's a lot of different combinations of players that you could come up with for the money that you're going to spend on Durant that would help fill out this roster more than just one Kevin Durant. But all those guys together cannot impact a year quite like one Kevin Durant can. Damon, how much have you smoked today? Not enough. I'll just file it under not enough. 888-957-9570. We have some ridiculous things to go over this Thursday afternoon. We have some less ridiculous real sports topics to go over. We definitely have three great interviews set up for you today. Dan Rusinowski's coming up at 3:30, play-by-play voice of the San Jose Sharks. Huge, huge game tonight. David Forst, general manager of the Oakland A's, joins me at 4:30. Live at 5, Steve Kerr. Guess we got a couple things to ask Steve about. Patrick McCall last night was fantastic. JaVale McGee last night was fantastic. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson were there. Defensively fantastic. Offensively, they were there.
Yeah.
They were there. They weren't there doing much, but they were there. And the Warriors won that comfortably. You want to talk about lock it down, lock it up, throw away the key, 12-point third quarter. I mean, Terry Stotts, he's in that halftime locker room coaching, making adjustments too. It's not like the Warriors are the only people making halftime adjustments. The Portland Trailblazers are in there trying to adjust themselves, and they found themselves adjusted to a dozen points in the third quarter. That was gorgeous. Beautiful defense. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Some of the best we've seen all season long. JaVale McGee was awesome last night. Steph Curry, blown away by the performance.
I've said this all year. He's a professional. It doesn't matter if he's playing 13 minutes like tonight or 5 minutes. He comes in with the same effort and energy whenever he steps foot on the floor. And it gives us a different dynamic. He puts pressure on the rim on offense, and he protects the rim on defense. And you can always count on him playing hard.
Guy plays his rear end off. His absolute rear end off for this team. He's given them everything that they could have hoped for, and even more on top of that. I was listening to Bob Myers on with Papa and Bonte today, and Bob said something that just, you can't put a value on the guy who does whatever you ask him to do. We want you to do a lot tonight. Yes, coach. We want you to do very little tonight. Yes, coach. We want you to be marginalized for a 3-week period where you hardly hit the court at all? Yes, coach. Everything they've asked of this guy, he's given him. And he's just balling right now. In 10 minutes of game one, he was 3 of 4, 6 points, 5 rebounds, 2 blocks, and an assist. 13 minutes of court time last night, 7 of 7. He finished with 15 points. He was leading the Warriors in scoring at halftime. JaVale McGee was leading the Warriors in scoring at halftime of a playoff game. Raise your hand if you had that at home. No? You didn't have that marked down on your bingo card?
Did not.
No one did.
Nope.
No one.
He was fun to watch
last night. Isn't he?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Not all two-point buckets are created equal.
Nope.
Mid-range jumper? Fantastic. Glad he hit it. Alley-oop, Mama Chewbacca dunk? Now all of a sudden the upper deck is falling into the lower bowl because they're standing up and cheering so hard.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the noise level?
I know in a regular season game it gets loud. I mean, it's just crazy. There is a reason why it's called Roracle. It's impressive.
Yeah.
And it really is.
And it was better in game two than it was in game one because there were certain moments of, you know, this shot, if he hits it, gets measured on the Richter scale, much less the box score. They missed those shots in game one. They hit those shots in game two.
Oh, definitely.
And while we were looking at the bench playing so well, the second unit, Patrick McCaw thrust back into the starting lineup, playing the game of his career, locking down Lillard when he was out there facing him straight up. It was a great check for him. And they brought out, for the first time I've ever seen it, that court size strength and numbers banner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was on full display last night. I was even joking about how strength and numbers is more of a bumper sticker than it is reality. This is strength and future Hall of Famers. But the strength and numbers thing, it just shows you how many different gears they have. Gears on gears on gears on gears. 888-957-9570 is the number. John in Concord says Durant's unnecessary. One game and you think Kevin Durant's unnecessary, huh, John?
Well, to be honest with you, we do and we don't need Durant. He kind of reminds me of when we got Andre Iguodala from Denver, and he came off the bench. He was the sixth man of the year unofficially, and like you said, Kevin Durant can be your Finals MVP, just like Andre Iguodala, you know, was the MVP. Kevin Durant can do the same thing. We see what happens is with Durant, we pass him the ball, we stand around, we're amazed. He's great, you know. I'm a diehard Warriors fan. I love everything that Coach Kerr is doing. But to be honest with you, this is Curry's team,
right?
And Kevin Durant is along for the ride.
Well, you know, in a way he is, but it's a ride that he signed up for, he's willing to take, so it'd be nuts to tell him to get out of the car, wouldn't it? He's ready for the ride. He's going where we're going.
I'm not saying get rid of him, Damon. What I'm saying is he's a luxury. He is the best sixth man you've ever could bring off an injury, off the bench, like Andre Iguodala. But We would never put him on the bench. That's not what I'm.
No, he's not going. No, you know what, John? We're at a break. I got to go, man. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off there, but he is a luxury item. He is not the cake of the Warriors' success. He's the frosting. It's an unnecessary. It's almost like having a second yacht. And look, I guess if you're ultra wealthy, a second yacht isn't off the list of things you want.
Well, you earned your first one. Why not add to it?
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
You got the money. Do it. You
can land a helicopter on the back of this one. Check it out. Hey, if you're on hold, and we got a lot of people on hold, stay right there. We do have Dan Ruzanowski, though, joining us, getting you ready for Sharks-Oilers Game 5 tonight on some digital signal that Gianna may or may not want to share.
98.5 K-Fox.
That's where you're going to find the Sharks, and you're going to find Dan Ruzanowski with me next.
Face off, left side of Talbot. Sharks get the draw again. We're on the shot. Tip, score! Pavelski in front. Couture stops it. Shoots. Score! Rebound Burns. Cross ice. Marlowe. Shoots. Score! Ward finds it free. Goes back to the point. Slump for the drive. Save. Rebound. Sorensen. Score! Now Larson is totally out of gas. Lost his footing. Shot by Couture. Score! Turns it around. Back to Burns. Winds up. Shoots. Tip. Score! The Caps Compton does it again. Nice play by Hurdle to get it across the rim. Shot. Stamkos score.
Tremendous defensive play. Relentless puck pursuit in all three zones. So all the ingredients that make this beautiful night tonight, 7-0. Do it again on Thursday, and the Sharks should be able to take a 3-2 lead in the series.
San Jose Sharks, they are back and alive in this series thanks to a dominant, scarring performance in Game 4. And to talk about all those scars, he is the voice of the Sharks, the one and only voice of the Sharks, Dan Ruzanowski. He is joining us here on 95.7 The Game ahead of Game 5 tonight in Edmonton. Hey, Dan, great to have you, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great, Damon. It's just a great day for hockey. The sun is shining in Edmonton, and it's not snowing.
Okay, so the most impressive thing about Game 4 wasn't the final. It was how hard the Sharks were skating with a 5-0 lead. The fact that they poked in two more up 5-0 is exactly the kind of on-ice attitude change this team needed to get back into the series.
You're exactly right, Damon. You know, every single player contributed, too. There were no passengers, and I think that was something that they really wanted to have as an effort for the team before the game. No passengers, especially in goal. You know, we remember all the goals they scored and how spectacular they were, but that zero at the end of the Edmonton score sheet is really important for Martin Jones and for the team's psyche heading into Game 5. They did a great job in holding McDavid off the score sheet, and they continue to do a solid job through four lines of just solid, hard-checking, hard-hitting play.
Cam Talbot, is that a fork in the road, or is that just a bad night of hockey for him?
I'd say it's a bad night of hockey. It's a blip in the time capsule. Every time you go through the playoffs for the first time, you have moments like that. I think the big test for him is going to be see how he responds tonight. I think that's the big thing for him, but we can expect that he'll be there.
Dan, I'm sure there's an awful lot more analysis that could be put into what was wrong with the Sharks' power play, but the talking point that I've been settling on throughout the playoffs was they're so busy looking for perfect, they pass up very good way too often. You know, I'd love to see the overpassing, I think, has hurt them at times, and then here comes a franchise record 4 power play goals when you needed them the most. What unlocked that?
What did Yogi Berra used to say? When you get to the fork in the road, take it.
Take it.
Well, when you see the shot opportunity, you better take it. You have to shoot without hesitation. And I think that that's something that the Sharks were doing quite a lot during the course of the first couple games of the series, and really a lot during the season, trying to be too perfect, as you mentioned, and trying to execute the exact perfect play is not something that they need to do. They need to get it to the net and make sure that they go look for deflections, look for rebounds. They're going to be there.
Voice of the Sharks, Dan Ruzanowski here on the Damon and Bruce Show. Joe Thornton looked much better in Game 4 after his Game 3 return. How does he feel, and what do you expect going in tonight?
I just think that what you're seeing on the ice is remarkable right now, given the fact that he's 37 years old, that he's dealing with an injury that would normally put a baseball player on the 365-day DL. And, you know, this is something that you really have to respect in the man, the fact that when the games are at the most important time, he wants to be on the ice, and he's crafted his body into a way that he can play and be effective. I just think what he's doing is amazing.
Logan Couture, 2 goals, about 2 teeth left in his head. What a gutsy performance from that guy. I mean, you know, it's the time of the year where you hear the phrase, that's a hockey player, an awful lot, but man, that's a hockey player.
Yeah, I probably should have saved my 365-day DL comment for Logan Couture, because this guy put together an amazing, courageous effort in game number 4. 2 goals. He got cross-checked in the face by Connor McDavid, who was getting frustrated in the second period. And, you know, they say, well, he wasn't wearing full face protection, so maybe he was asking for it. Well, not exactly. this is a guy that he really, really gives his best and wants to be there at the most important times, too. I don't know what it is about the London, Ontario area. That's where Logan Couture and Joe Thornton grew up, but there's something in the water there about making tough hockey players out of that area, because these guys really are there.
And Martin Jones has been spectacular. You know, you talk about being there outside of a goal that was given up by that turnover from Schlemko, which, God, he must have not slept at all that night. He's just been huge in the net. I mean, Martin Jones is starting to look like the guy who pretty much stood on his head all the way to the Stanley Cup final last year.
Yeah, Damon, we saw some signs of that near the end of the season, that he was regaining the form that he needed to have. Not that he was too much off of his game, but I think he probably had a few contests down the stretch that he would have liked to have had back. And he's there. He's dialed in right now. He's making all of the big saves. And as far as Slemko is concerned, yeah, he was pretty upset about the one play, but at least he converted the extra point on the touchdown last game.
Yeah, Jerry Rice about to throw open the doors next to greet the Sharks?
Well, we had Jerry Rice, and we've had Ricky Henderson, so I don't know who's going to be next, but we've had a lot of great celebrities opening up the doors at SAP Center.
I tell you what, you win tonight. You go out and you bring out the big gun, little Joe Montana, for what could be a closeout game in Game 6 back at SAP. That place was roaring. That might have been one of the best on-ice games that building's ever seen.
It really is one of the better ones in recent years, and certainly maybe you could put it up against some of the best of all time in that building, just because of the score, because of the intensity, because of the fact that everybody was contributing that I mentioned, from Martin Jones all the way through the fourth line, all of the defensemen. I just think that that's a great setup for this game, but as you know, it's a different venue, Damon, and certainly a different atmosphere, and the challenge is going to be huge tonight.
It's obvious the winner of Game 5 takes control. Can the loser of Game 5 win two in a row after?
It's happened before. There's no doubt you can do it, but it makes it a lot harder. The good news is that if that were to occur, the Sharks would have home ice for Game 6. And that's why it has happened a number of times, because that home ice team just pulls out all the stops and puts together the effort that they need to force a Game 7. What often happens in a best of seven in the NHL, though, is that sometimes you run out of gas because of all of the effort that you put in to do that. However, it's been done many times over the course of history where a team can come back from being down 3-2 and go all the way and win the best of seven series in seven games. But I think the Sharks would rather err on the side of caution, take Game 5, and have two chances to take the series.
Do you see the former coach of the San Jose Sharks as you're watching the Edmonton Oilers coaching against a team he knows the DNA of? Or is that a big storyline going into this series that has kind of fallen into the background?
I think it's more of the latter. It's more of a story for us than it is for Todd himself, and he basically said as much at the start of the series. You know, a lot of these players have changed, of course, since he's left the team. Of the guys that are here, they've changed as players. They've grown from their experiences. He knows certain aspects about them, but I think he's probably more focused on trying to get the most out of Connor McDavid and Milan Lucic right now.
No Donskoy tonight. Why the scratch?
I think it's probably accountability. He just hasn't been able to produce the way that the coaches want him to. The same thing happened to Mikhail Bodker in recent games, and so that's why Donskoy's probably out tonight. I think that this coaching staff has done a great job of never hesitating to remind the players that they are accountable, not only to the coaching staff, but to their own teammates. And if nothing especially wrong that he's doing in terms of his effort, he just needs to get more results. And I think that taking a seat and thinking about it is probably a good thing. It'll probably be a good thing for Mikhail Bodker. It's a big game for Bodker tonight because he needs to show something if he wants to get more ice time. And, you know, you talk about accountability. They've given him every chance in the world to try to produce. He needs to do it starting now.
I tell you know, we're spoiled with great play-by-play talent here in the Bay Area, Dan. And there's no doubt you are part of that conversation. The calls that you've been having, get these coughs out, by the way, before it all starts tonight.
Yeah, try it.
You are one of the best. I love your calls. I love a Donskoy scar more than anything else. We're not going to get any of that tonight, unfortunately, but you really are. You're one of the best. I love hearing you, and you are having a spectacular playoff run through this first series, so I hope it keeps on going deep into the summer. Thank you so much for joining us. All eyes on Edmonton tonight.
I appreciate that very much, Damon. Looking forward to the game and looking forward to a big effort tonight from the guys.
Me too. Unfortunately, no Donskoy. That guy! Out! Scratched! Thanks very much to Dan Ruzanowski for joining us. Here's the one thing that we're going to do. Again, Sharks are 1, 2, 3. They're 3-1. 2-1. They're 2-1 when we play the Canadian National Anthem. Or no, not the Canadian National Anthem. The Canadian alphabet, if you would please, to almost guarantee a Shark victory tonight. Hit it, Button Vixen.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, B, D, Q, R, S, T, U, F, N, WX. And these are Canadian ABCs. Susie likes hairy balls. What do you think of these?
Take
all
that.
Right, now everyone.
Take that, Edmonton. 888-957-9570. More of your calls. And the most amazing thing about Game 2 for the Warriors next.
Just not letting them get in their comfort zone. You know, when you let them come out and get easy things from the beginning, they get in the rhythm and they're tough. Just as tough to stop as anybody in the league, you know. But we came out from the jump. We were up on the pick and roll, started out with Zaza. You know, we didn't let them get to their left hand as much as they wanted to, as much as we did in the first game one. And, you know, they felt us from the beginning, you know, as opposed to all of a sudden third quarter. You know, then you start to, you know, apply more pressure.
Announce your presence.
From the jump tonight.
Announce your presence. And the Warriors certainly did, as game two felt like it was over early. Then all of a sudden, Portland did get it a little closer. Third quarter starts. Warriors go off. Portland held to 12 points over the third quarter. Bon voyage, Trailblazers. It's not over yet, but that is a snatching of any confidence kind of performance. You've got a backcourt that goes from combining for 75 points to a, what did they combine for, 24 last night, 25, whatever it was. And it was just a game that the Warriors didn't even play their very best still. I mean, Curry? Yeah. Clay? Yeah. But for a couple of trips up and down the court, they didn't catch fire. They hit a couple big momentum buckets, though, and then Oracle's going nuts. You need a timeout, Terry Stotts. And it goes downhill real fast. It doesn't take the Warriors heating up for long to create a 15-point lead that wasn't there just a minute ago. You want to know what the most amazing thing was about Game 2, though? I mean, it really dropped my jaw. It's the most amazing thing that happened in the game last night, Gianna. It's not the Drake concert disco balls.
Those are awesome.
It's not the strength in numbers court size banner that they had.
Or the guy with the stacked chairs.
It wasn't the halftime show with the guy with the stacked chairs. It wasn't even that. The single most incredible moment from last night's game is that Draymond Green didn't get a technical foul. Draymond Green was called for a clear as day moving screen. Okay, it was a moving screen that gets called at the YMCA. It was in the middle of the court. The player fell over his moving screen. That's a whistle. It's an easy one. Scott Foster, of all people, was the one who made the call. Nobody likes it. Oracle's booing. Warrior fans didn't want to see at all that was a clear moving screen. Draymond immediately gets in Scott Foster's face, and then Foster starts walking away, backing away. Draymond follows him. He basically puts a three-quarter court press on Scott Foster as he is walking down to the other end of the court, into the corner to be left alone. Not only did Draymond follow him the entire way there, but he then stood there jawing directly in Scott Foster's quick whistle face. A teammate had to come get him. Steve Kerr's yelling at him to shut up from the bench. Stop it. Get off the court. And there's Draymond just John. And he didn't get a tech. I couldn't believe it. It's as jaw-dropping as Iguodala's Mama Chewbacca dunk or anything that we saw JaVale do on the alley-oop. I mean, it was unbelievable that Draymond didn't get a tech right there. I still don't know how it happened. I have no idea. He basically put the Arkansas 40 minutes of hell press on an official and kept barking in the corner and just didn't get a tech. I couldn't believe it. There's a lot of times to argue a call. That wasn't even one of them.
Yeah.
It's a miracle. So hopefully everyone stays nice and calm while playing with a huge chip on their shoulder when they get to Portland for what's going to be a raucous crowd. They love their Trailblazers up there. But the Warriors are obviously built to win this series. They looked better in the game without Kevin Durant than they did in the game with Kevin Durant. Got a lot of people on hold, 888-957-9570. This is Albert in Santa Cruz. What's going on, Albert?
Once again, love the show, Damon. You're always on point.
Thank you.
But what I think is what a lot of people are saying why they think they don't need Durant is they're spoiled. We have the most talented, most unselfish team people have seen in years. In years. I mean, you have the king himself in Curry. You have everybody else, but Durant, he's an enigma. He's the kind of player that, you know, you don't really appreciate until it's the finals when you need somebody to go in there and go slash for slash with LJ, you know, with LeBron James.
Right.
He's the only one who can do it.
You know, I think it's
physical like that.
If you're evaluating what the Warriors do against the Portland Trailblazers, is that guy's unnecessary? Look, to beat the Trailblazers, maybe he is. When the Spurs get on your dance card, if it's either, you know, the Cavaliers or the Wizards, or it's hard to feel about the Celtics right now, but whoever's waiting for you in the NBA Finals, you're going to be thrilled that Kevin Durant is here. And God forbid Steph Curry turn an ankle or Klay Thompson turn an ankle or something like that. You want to talk about how this team does not miss a beat? It's because you got Kevin frickin' Durant right there ready to go if anyone else gets hurt.
One last thing, too, you know what, Durant, the game last night with Houston, Durant shows, you know what, he wants to be on a team that wants to win. He can be with anybody like, you know, Mr. Triple-Double himself, but, you know, he showed he's just too selfish a player. That's why he'll never get another superstar to come play with him.
Albert, thank you very much for the call. David in Alameda, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Good afternoon, Damon. How are you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
I got a couple points I want to hit on. Hey, so we had two callers ago. He was talking about Durant's the icing on the cake. The Warriors are a freaking five-layer cake. As deeper as you cut, they get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter.
That's good. That sounds like a great segment right there.
I mean, I'm just voicing it as I see it. The other thing, I told my buddies at the beginning of the year, when we acquired JaVale McGee, that dude's a beast. I love the fact that he's quiet. He does his job. He never complains. 2 minutes, 10 minutes, 18 minutes, whatever it may be. Guy's on point.
Thank you,
Dave. My last question.
Oh, go
ahead. Wait, my last question. I feel we cut Zaza next year and we re-sign JaVale McGee.
JaVale McGee might have played himself into a pretty big contract, and if he keeps this up, he definitely will. I hope that he would want to stay here. It seems like a great fit. That guy's been a better-paid player on an inferior team. It's been part of his past. I'd rather be paid a little less and work on championship pedigree, work on the fact that you're now, having people respect you for the first time in a long time. If I'm a Warrior, in this situation right now, I'm looking for all kinds of ways to justify me staying here, beyond dollar amount.
I feel JaVale's a very intelligent gentleman, and he would be smart, take a little pay cut, but the Warriors need to realize, cut Zaza. He's put in a lot of time,
right, but this
put
is,
in the work.
I can promise you,
McGee's the better guy.
Yeah, I can promise you, this is a one-year experiment with Zaza. It hopefully gets him a title, hopefully gets Zaza a title. You also got Damian Jones coming, who, by the way, got some playoff minutes last night. I think Damian Jones may have played more in the playoffs now than he did in the actual regular season. This is Rich in San Jose. Rich, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Damon, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, I agree with the last caller. You know, really, you got to tip your hat to the front office in Golden State. And the reason why is because when you look at the last couple of seasons, they have just been spot on in picking up guys that can really, you know, really just, you know, do what the team needs to do. You know, you saw it when they picked up Andre Iguodala. You saw it when they picked up Sean Livingston. And so what do? They go out and they get JaVale McGee. And this is a guy, in my opinion, you know, he's put on Shaq and Fu and all that. They did that to him, and I don't think they should have. But this is a guy that, to me, just needed the right situation, and that's what's happening for him right now in Golden State. JaVale, my hat's off to you, man. Great game last night. I can't stop talking about this guy. I think once he gets more time, they're going to see more from this guy of what he can do for the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, I've been wildly impressed, and their entire team is. How about this? The coaching staff is satisfied, the GM is thrilled, and the players love him. That means it was a great, great hire, a great signing, and it happened at a point in the year and in the offseason where anybody in the NBA could have gotten this guy, but I don't think there's any other team in the NBA that gets what we're getting out of JaVale McGee like the Warriors have gotten out of him. Randy and Campbell to wrap up the hour. What do you got, Randy?
Hey, Damon. You know, I'm not a big fan of Russell Westbrook as a person, but as a player, I don't think we've seen anybody leave it out on the court since Allen Iverson. So, and it's not just that he's scoring at a very high level. Look, the guy is getting 10 boards, and he's dishing out 10 assists in addition. So you kind of have to take that into account. Now, tell me, if Curry decides to leave and go to Charlotte, okay?
Not going to happen, but continue.
Well, okay, well, let's hope not, right? He belongs in Golden State. I don't think he will. But if he did, would you tell me that you wouldn't want Westbrook? Let's say that Durant is not on the team at that point. If Westbrook had some more talent around him, he probably wouldn't be hoisting up 40, you know, 50.
You
whatever.
Might be right, Randy. You might be right. But I just watched Russell Westbrook play next to Kevin Durant and freeze him out on some nights. So I really don't know. Westbrook is an incredible talent. Would I want him on my team? It'd be hard to say no to talent like that. But having Steph Curry means you say no to talent like that. And Curry's not going anywhere. Curry's not interested in walking away from the best situation to a situation that might not even be a real situation. No disrespect, Charlotte Hornets. We got more people on hold. Fantastic. We're going to be talking to you next hour. I can promise you that. We're talking with A's general manager David Forst next hour at 4:30. When we come on back, we'll let you know why the Damon Bruce Show is sitting out the frothing NFL schedule release that people are just dying for. Like, I'm a little patient. I can wait. I don't need scheduling leaks. Ooh, you play the Chiefs week 5. So what? This is the Damon Bruce Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.